dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. The daily output when it comes to intelligent reporting on matters of great importance to the national interest and often to the national security of our first guest, Richard Pollack, with the Daily Caller News Foundation, is almost unparalleled in certainly journalistic circles in Washington these days. He's a man of considerable experience in the business of investigative reporting, having done it for PJ Media as its Washington bureau chief, having been a producer for Good Morning America and a senior producer for Fox News Sunday. These days, he heads up the investigative reporting arm of the Daily Caller News Foundation. Always welcome here, especially when he's breaking big stories, and you're doing so at the moment. Richard, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you very much.
Well, many of the stories of late seem to be revolving around a family named Podesta. John Podesta, of course, having been a prominent fixture in Washington for many years in mostly the Clinton world, and of late the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton's campaign. Tell us what you have uncovered about John Podesta's involvement with people in Russia, businesses in particular in Russia, that I would think would be of interest to those investigating Russian influence operations in the United States.
Yes, thank you, Frank. What we're talking about here is John Podesta over a four-year period serving on the board of directors of a company called Juul Unlimited, and he shared that board with three very high-ranking Russian businessmen with ties to the Kremlin and with ties directly to Vladimir Putin. And we hear the forced narrative about, oh my God, somebody had a phone call with the Russian ambassador. Oh my God, there was a meeting with the Russian ambassador. But here we have the former chairman of the Clinton campaign in 2016 sitting six times a year and socializing and doing business deals with three very top-ranking businessmen with direct ties to the Kremlin, and we don't hear anything about it.
Yeah, it's stunning to me, and I hope that it will be remedied before this so-called investigation is complete. Let me ask you about a company called Rusnano and a fellow by the name of Anatoly Chubais, who it appears John Podesta was also associating with. What's the story with them, Richard Pollack?
The Chubais relationship started with Bill Clinton during the period of President Boris Yeltsin's term. And Bill Clinton said that Chubais was a great hero. He was trying to privatize the communist state. But in fact, what he did was he opened the doors to the development and the rise of tycoons and the accumulation of incredible wealth among a few handful of people. Many of them, of course, to Putin associates.
These are folks who've come to be known as oligarchs, but I think it's better to describe them as kleptocrats. But go on.
Anyway, he became the CEO of a state-owned company created by presidential decree under Putin of a company called Rusnano. And Rusnano has state money. That's the sole source of their income. And they decided to invest in the same company, Juul, Unlimited, and Juul received 1 billion rubles from this company the same year that Podesta joined. In fact, Podesta was on the board and presumably approved the $1 billion rubles or the $35 million in U.S. dollars investment in Juul. And then Chubais came on the board. And Chubais and two other very significant Russian banking officials were also on the board. And it's just, again, it's really quite amazing that we're all concerned about a phone call when, in fact, it was very clear that John Podesta was a principal in terms of bringing Russian money, Kremlin-backed money, into the United States.
Yeah. And this would constitute, I think, by any reasonable definition, an influence, vehicle, if not one that was highly operationalized by the Kremlin at the highest levels of the Clinton world, the Clinton campaign most especially. Let me ask you, the Daily Caller recently published an article by our friend and colleague, frequent contributor here at Secure Freedom Radio, Richard Diana West, involving a Silicon Valley that was created with the active support of the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton in a place called Skolkovo. Can you shed any light on whether this also constitutes a problematic exercise of Russian influence?
Yes. Part of the Russian reset that Hillary Clinton was pursuing included trying to help Russia's Silicon Valley. And the State Department and Hillary herself personally escorted or facilitated 22 Silicon Valley American companies to go over to Russia to this particular Potemkin village that pretends to be the Russian Silicon Valley, and tried to go and push a variety of different deals between our technology companies, which are much more advanced, with the Russian. And again, we had 22 CEOs going to Russia, and you used the word influence campaign. These are campaigns to try to befriend Americans and tell them, look, we're your friends. We're not your enemies. We're human beings. Let's go and work together. We have common goals as humans. You must understand us and be much more tolerant and empathetic to what we're doing. So this was an overall campaign that's very well known as a Russian tactic. This is not an obscure tactic. It's been around even prior to the collapse of the Soviet Union.
Yeah, Armin Hammer comes to mind as one of the perpetrators of the trust for this same kind of purpose.
Yes, and so we here Hillary, naively, I believe, is bringing American CEOs to Russia, to their so-called Silicon Valley, and developing relationships, and Rusnano and others then become investment tools with state money, with Russian money, and trying to go and invest it in American companies, and then getting a seat at the table to continue their information campaign or influence campaign within the heart of America's corporate boardroom.
Richard, I just have to say, at least based on Diana West's reporting, that in addition to whatever naivete Hillary Clinton may have exhibited, she was certainly being paid to play. Her husband garnered something on the order of $500,000 from one of these kleptocrats involved in Skolkovo, according to Diana. And also, apparently, the Clinton Foundation accumulated nearly $150 million from some of those involved, as well as transferring a lot of very sensitive technology, including apparently hypersonic missile technology. So this is a scandal of the first order. And I hope that any investigation worth its salt will be looking at these as well as such other rumored activities as you've indicated are the focus of it at the moment.
And may I mention, Frank, that in 2014, after years and years of this forced marriages that Hillary tried to push between Russian and American technology companies, in 2014, the FBI's Boston Bureau or field office, which deals with MIT, with Harvard, and others, issued an extraordinary warning to high technology companies saying that the Russian investment could be actually a ruse for both technological espionage and for political espionage. So at the highest levels of the FBI, there was already warning signs that this wasn't just simply innocent stuff. This was opening up and making vulnerable American technology to Russian espionage.
Yeah, and in ways that will materially degrade the security of the American people. Richard Pollack, there's so much more to talk about, including your piece today about John Podesta's brother, Tony, and what he's been doing on behalf of criminal enterprises in China. Check it out, folks, and do come back to us soon, Richard, to discuss it. We're going to talk with one of your colleagues at the Daily Caller, Michael Bestesh, more about what President Trump is going to try to do today on energy security. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.